the book of Philippians. Sometimes I think of calling it Philippians because it should flip your life around by reading the words of Paul, a follower of Christ who really knew what it meant to see God for who he was. And here he is writing to the church, and he's in chains. He's doggone in jail, and he's got this great attitude. In fact, the word joy appears 16 times. And then, of course, in chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Here he was being able to look, really, as we would say, on the bright side of things, knowing who he was in Christ, knowing where he was going. There's no doubt Paul was a citizen of heaven, and he knew that. And he really saw that he was passing through earth for a journey, for a time, and he wanted to make the most of that for the growth of other people, discipling them and honoring God and bringing glory to God. So with that, the book of Philippians has six themes. Humility, which is best represented in chapter 2. Self-sacrifice, which is all through the letter. Unity, as he presents issues of the church with the generations and the issues of loyalty and everything there and his communication. Christian living, just how we can be a successful Christian in our life, growing up in maturity with an attitude of humility and the other themes that we're mentioning here. Joy, which is just a remarkable aspect because of his circumstances and his hardship, which should teach us all to realize that truly the joy of the Lord is our strength, found as in Nehemiah 8:10. Then another theme is hope. And that comes out really kind of as a thread of all the other themes put together. So you got Paul, who's really tight with these dudes over in Philippi, and he knows them well. And just in the first few verses, he's saying the usual salutations of the grace and the peace and thanking God every time he remembers them. And he actually tells them how he prays for him, that he prays with joy and he considers their relationship a partnership, and that he's confident that God, who began this work in them, will finish it, will carry it on to completion. And that's just such a great mirror theme for a youth pastor to teens, for a parent to their children, anyone who is trying to disciple someone else, that they know how far God has brought them, and they have the confidence by the very fact that God has proved faithful with his promises to their life, that they can pass on those promises, push them on to someone else, and try to instill a confidence that they can live in the same way and catch that grip of God's grace and his love and his power to live the Christian life that he gives us the ability to live in the first place. So as Paul justifies and reiterates the relationship he has and his affection, he also just goes ahead and says a prayer here in verse 9 that their love would abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, as if the more they know about God, the love will come on after that. And with that knowledge, they'll be able to figure out what's best and the decisions they need to make as a church and in their personal walk with the Lord, so that no one can look at their testimony and be disqualified for ministry, that they'd be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. And that ministry that they have would produce fruit, the results of the Holy Spirit working in their life, and that would bring glory and praise to God. Then Paul goes into this whole big thing about just the controversy of whether he's in chains and some other people preaching with different motives, and all in all to say that he's just glad that Christ has preached, and he rejoices in all of this, and he covets their prayers, and he just hopes that he will not stumble and he will have the courage that Christ would be in it, exalted in his body, no matter what happens, by life or death. And the kicker here is verse 21, where he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And what a challenge for anyone to pray that, read that, meditate on it, and just realize the depth of Paul's commitment, not only to the church, but to God, and just how he sees the balance of life and death. And then he goes on and reasons through that line of thinking about whether he's here on earth, serving the church, or with God. He's torn between, but he knows that it'll be a fruitful labor because he's doing the walk. He's walking the talk, and he knows the results he's going to have. So he knows it's going to be better for them because he just knows the effectiveness of the ministry God's given him. And he continues to give him more advice there in chapter 1 about just conducting themselves and just acknowledging, really, their situation as he sets up chapter 2 for all this reasoning about the humility of Christ and what they should do with that.